Take heart, fear not, because I am with you. Good morning. Take heart, fear not, for I am with you. Those words from last Sunday's gospel resonated in my head all week like a tune that you hear a song that you can't get out of your head. And I kept on hearing that and hearing that and hearing it, and I finally thought to myself, you know what? I don't know that God remembers who I am. So I got so frustrated, I finally said, hey God, my name is Ed, and I'm a fearaholic. Because you know what? Despite that wonderful line from Scripture, I don't know about you, but I have fears. I have lots of fears. I have lists of fears. I fear that I'm getting old. I fear that I'm not going to have enough money. I fear that I'm going to be alone. I fear that you're going to throw tomatoes at me in the middle of the sermon. I'm afraid that Roger's going to walk out, and then I know I'm really in trouble. I have lots of fears. We all have fears. I also fear sometimes that when I slip into, when I move into my next episode of depression, that I might not come out. That's a big fear. That's a big fear. And what happens is that emotionally, I want to shut down. I do one of two things. Either emotionally, I'll cry for no reason. No reason whatsoever. I will just cry and be very upset. The other side of emotion sometimes, though, is to shut down. And I think sometimes that, too, can be an emotion, just shutting down. Because I don't want you anywhere near me. Collectively, fear can demonstrate itself in lots of very interesting ways. We just have to look to the Iraqis, the Christian Iraqis, in fear for their lives. We don't have to even look that far. We can look to the middle of this country, to the heartland, to Missouri, and we can see what fear is doing in Ferguson, Missouri. Yesterday, I was at St. Mark's in Van Nuys for a celebration of the Eucharist, and after I set the table, and during that period of time while I was waiting for the gifts to be brought forward, I stood at that altar as I have many, 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 many times, and I looked out, and what was in front of me were three caskets. A father, a mother, and their 23-year-old daughter, who were killed in a horrific car accident while they were driving Michelle, the daughter, to law school. And you know, you don't want to always deal with people's emotions, but sometimes you can't help but get drawn in, especially when they're people that you know personally and people that you love, and there's this great tragedy of it all. And the matriarch of the family, little old lady, you know, all dressed in black with a long black veil, Filipino culture. And that's an important part of understanding the culture and the situation, I guess. But I looked at her face, and she bore the weight of the world on her face, on her heart. She lost not only a daughter, she lost a son-in-law, she lost a granddaughter who was on the verge of doing amazing things with her life, a recent Berkeley graduate, full honors, on a full ride to law school, had the whole world ahead of her. Does any of it make any sense? I don't know. But it got me to thinking about emotion. And it got me to thinking about the fact that emotions can be a good thing. It got me to thinking about that emotion and our emotions are a gift from God, if we use them properly. And if we recognize the fact that our emotions are gifts, not to be something feared. You know, it's easy to want to shut down and not deal with our feelings and our emotions. But when we see that a situation is so helpless and that there are no remedies, there's no way out, we become desperate. And that in itself is a definition of desperation. That there's just no way out. So sometimes when I'm having a bout with depression, now my greatest desperation is that I'm not going to come out. And there is that moment. And there are those moments for all of us in our fears that they're going to overcome us. And we're not going to come out. So what do we do? So, in today's gospel, we talk about the Canaanite woman. Now that's the other thing that's been annoying me all week, is that, doesn't she have a name? The Canaanite woman. It's like saying those people, you know, that woman. So I had to give her a name, so I named her Hilda. It was the first name that popped into my head. So, why are we still, all of these years later, still talking about Hilda? What lesson do we have to learn in today's gospel? She's overwrought. Her emotions, her fears are running her. She's worried about her daughter. What does she do? Does she shut down? No. Does she use those emotions creatively? Does she think outside of the box a little bit? I think so. Now, at first, Jesus was a little put off. We're all put off sometimes by other people's emotions and other people's feelings. We are. We're put off. My deal is taking care of the people of Israel. Puts her off. It was common back then to refer to anybody who wasn't a Jew, so to all of the Gentiles, refer to them as dogs. And it's a huge insult. And, you know, she got called a dog, too. But did she use her emotions in such a way that she attacked Jesus and said, "Hey, hey, hey!" No. She used her emotions and her feelings in a creative way to get his attention. By honoring and respecting herself and how she felt, and giving him the space to be who he was, but in her heart knowing what the right thing is, in her heart knowing who he is, allowed their differences to be, and a wonderfully creative thing came out of that, didn't it? Woman, you have faith. Your daughter is healed. So, I wonder, in our lives, how many times we will have the opportunity to take our fears, to take our emotions when we feel distraught, and honor them. Not run away from them, but we're willing to honor them. I'm willing to honor Rogers. I'm willing to honor anybody. I'm not going to shy away from them. They are what they are, and I have to respect them. But if I do that, I get to hold myself up, and I get to hold that person up, and together, life gets a whole lot better. And I think that that's the point that Jesus is making in today's gospel, and that's about what life is in the kingdom. Have all of these differences. Sure. You know, we're not perfect. Jesus got that he wasn't perfect. The human side of him before I get brought up on charges of heresy. But the point is, know? Don't shove it down somebody else's throat. You know? Don't shove it down somebody's throat. Don't shove your own stuff down your own throat. You know, it applies to you too. I have to remember that myself. You know? I have to remember that. So, you know, fear not. You know, take heart. I am with you. That's true. But this week, get stuck in your head this, that God wants to engage with each one of us. God likes that. God doesn't necessarily, I think, all the time like when we become little mamby-pambies. God wants to engage with us. God wants to struggle with us a little bit, because it's in that struggle that we grow. You know, it's in that struggle that we recognize that we're on a journey. And then it's not always going to be easy. And the next fear is going to be there. You know, I know that. The next fear is going to be there for me. The next fear is going to be there for all of us. Call it whatever you want. But think of it simply as a little tug of war and a little engagement with God. And you know, what is it that you're teaching me now? So it's okay to shout out, "Hi, God. My name is Ed, and I'm a fearaholic." You know, "Hi, God, my name is Ed, and I want to get this right." Amen.